What is the Bible about? If you were to ask that question of a dozen people, you'd probably get a dozen different answers. But if you were to ask the Apostle Peter, this would be his answer. To Jesus Christ, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. That's found in Acts 10, verse 43. And from that passage and others like it, we learn that the entire Bible is centered on Jesus Christ and his gospel. This is Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. We invite you to join us this afternoon as we consider God's Word and what it reveals about Jesus Christ and his wonderful good news. Here's Pastor Wes Bradenhoff.
Well, a good Thursday afternoon to you. Welcome to another edition of Gospel Talk. I'm Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. I'd like to invite you to join me tomorrow for the Friday program. On the Friday programs, we usually have Pastor Chris Gordon from the Linden United Reformed Church for a bit of a roundtable discussion on important issues facing believers today. And that's also going to be the case tomorrow. So I'd love to have you join us for that. Well, this week on Gospel Talk, on our regular Monday to Thursday programs, we've been dealing with 1 Samuel 24 and what that passage tells us about the throne. The thrones which have been promised to believers through Jesus Christ. Well, as we were looking at that passage yesterday, we noted that there's a bit of a parallel, you could say, between the Saul found there in that passage, King Saul from the Old Testament, living about 1,000 years before Christ, and Saul in the New Testament, Saul of Tarsus, living about the time of Christ, shortly after Christ ascended into heaven, probably also during his lifetime. You know, and as we look at those parallels, we see that Saul in the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel 24 and in the preceding passages, he pursued David for no good reason. And that Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. And years later, this other Saul in the New Testament would also be born from the tribe of Benjamin. And like his forefather with David, Saul of Tarsus would persecute the son of David. And again, he did it for no good reason. He just simply had this crazy obsession to destroy Jesus Christ, to erase his memory from the face of the earth, to silence the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to put an end to all his followers. And he was on his way to Damascus when Jesus stopped him. And Jesus echoed the words of David, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" But unlike Saul, the son of Kish, Saul of Tarsus, the New Testament Saul, well, he came to see who Jesus really was. He saw that he was king, and he submitted to him, and he believed in him. And the great son of David, Jesus Christ, poured out amazing blessings on this Saul through God's powerful spirit, through his word. Saul became Paul the Christian and Paul the apostle, and he became a mighty instrument in God's hand to spread the gospel all over the face of the known world at that time. And then what happened to Paul? Well, he became one of the persecuted. Just like in our text here in 1 Samuel 24, the hunter became the hunted. He entered into the sufferings of Jesus, and he traveled the same path to the throne as David and as Christ. And he did that with sin. He did that with weakness. But he also did it in righteousness. And we talk about that righteousness. It's the righteousness, first of all, of Jesus. And that righteousness of Jesus bore the fruit of righteousness in Paul's life. And you know what? That is what is going to happen in the lives of everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. If we are looking to Christ and we are resting and trusting in him, if we are depending on his righteousness for us to be right with God, well, that's going to have practical consequences in our lives. That is going to bear fruit in our lives. We're going to bear the fruit of righteousness. And that's, again, because of our union with Christ, the fact that he is the vine and we are the branches. And if we are engrafted into Christ, we're going to be bearing the same fruit. And you may be listening to that and saying, okay, well, what does that look like? That sounds kind of abstract. That kind of sounds sort of nebulous. Can you tell us, Pastor, what that looks like in concrete terms? Well, I can do that. And I can do that because the same apostle we were just telling about has told us exactly what that looks like. And he did that in Romans 12, verses 14 to 21. I'd like to read those verses with you. Romans 12, 14 to 21. Here the apostle Paul says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Well, looking back to 1 Samuel 24, David was addressing Saul, and then Saul responded, and he said, first of all, "Is that your voice, David, my son?" And then he began weeping. I think he was weeping because he realized for a moment the insanity of what he'd been doing. He acknowledged the fact that David had been in the right. Saul had treated David badly, chasing after him, persecuting him, but David didn't respond in kind. He expresses his wish that God would reward David for what he'd done. And then, interestingly, Saul acknowledges that David's path to the throne is invincible. David cannot be stopped. In chapter 23 of 1 Samuel, Jonathan came to David at Horesh and encouraged him to find strength in God. And then he said, "Don't be afraid. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this." Saul would try to lay his hands on David, but he would never succeed. Like the later Saul, he was kicking against the goads. He was resisting the inevitable. David was headed for the throne, and the gates of hell could not prevail against him. And even though Saul later went back to his ruthless pursuit of David, at that moment he gets it right. He speaks a word of truth. You know, God spoke truth through the mouth of Balaam's donkey, and now he speaks through David's enemy. David will surely be king, and the kingdom will be established in his hands. And here again, this points ahead to Christ. To Christ, traveling the path to the throne with the invincible promise of God paving the way. God had promised in Genesis 3:15, the mother promise. God promised to crush the head of the serpent. God had promised that the scepter would not depart from Judah until he came and took it up. And today, what do we see? Well, Jesus reigns over heaven and earth as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Revelation 11, John hears the seventh angel say, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." Now, it's true. His reign is not yet recognized by everybody, but someday it will be. His kingdom is invincible. It cannot be stopped. It cannot be resisted. It cannot be thwarted. King Jesus reigns, and no one can stand in his way. Now, friends, think about the fact that we are in him again, that we are united to him through faith and through the Holy Spirit. And as you think about that, you can be sure that our path to the throne, that our path to glory, likewise, is invincible. You know, there's this doctrine of grace, a wonderful, comforting teaching of the Word of God called the perseverance of the saints. The perseverance of the saints, it means that God's elect will surely reach glory. Wonderful biblical doctrine. Now, it's true, the name Perseverance of the Saints is not the best because it can give the impression that perseverance, you know, sticking with it till the end, that that's something that believers do on their own. I think it's better to call it the preservation of the saints. When we call it the preservation of the saints, we place emphasis on the fact that this is God's doing, that it is all a work of God's grace, that it is a doctrine of grace. preservation of the saints. God preserves believers in the Christian faith, and he leads them to the throne. He draws them inevitably onward and upward to the glory that will be ours in the age to come. Now, that's a teaching of Scripture. And that teaching of Scripture has been summarized in the confessions that Reformed churches hold to. As you may know, I'm a pastor in a Reformed church, in a Canadian Reformed church. And we have several summaries of what the Bible teaches. They function as teaching tools, but also, you know, to let other people know what we believe the Bible teaches. And one of those confessions that we have is called the Canons of Dort. And I'd like to share with you something from that. Biblical teaching found in chapter 5 of the Canons of Dort. And there we read that God's counsel cannot be changed. His promise cannot fail. The calling according to his purpose cannot be revoked. The merit, intercession, and preservation of Christ cannot be nullified. And the sealing of the Holy Spirit can neither be frustrated nor destroyed. Now, that's awesome. That's a wonderful biblical teaching. Another one of our confessions that we have in Reformed churches is called the Belgic Confession. And in Article 26, it says there, "There is no creature in heaven or on earth who loves us more than Jesus Christ." And I ask you, isn't that a biblical teaching? There is no creature in heaven or on earth who loves us more than Jesus Christ. And since he loves us, we can be sure that he will rule us by his word and spirit, that he will defend and he will preserve us in the redemption obtained for us. Now, friends, isn't it great to know that? Isn't it great to have these doctrines of grace that assure us of God's love and power in our lives? And we can praise God that we have his invincible power paving our path to the throne. You know, it was that way for David. God kept his promise, and David attained the throne. God kept his promise. The son of David attained the throne in his time. God kept his promise. The apostle Paul is today reigning with Jesus Christ in heaven. He has attained glory. And in due time, we too, believing in Christ, we too will reign with King Jesus, guaranteed to everyone who believes in him. And I hope that's true of you also. And I hope that this program today has been a blessing for you. May God continue to bless you richly in every way.
Thank you for joining us today on Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. We hope this program has been a blessing for you. Our goal here is to preach nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The churches that support this program share that goal. One of those churches is the American Reformed Church in Linden. The Linden American Reformed Church gathers on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. We're located at 8868 Northwood Road in Linden. We'd love to have you join us. More information about the Linden American Reformed Church can be found at our website, www.lindenarc.org. That website again, www.lindenarc.org. You can also drop us a note in the mail if you'd like more information or if you have questions. Feel free to write to us at Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, BC, Canada. The postal code V2Z1B3. That address again, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, BC. The postal code V2Z1B3. You can call us toll-free at 1-866-288-1087. Once again, that number, 1-866-288-1087. Or email us at gospeltalk@hotmail.com. Again, that's gospeltalk, all one word, @hotmail.com. Thanks again for joining us, and we pray that the gospel of our Lord Jesus would continue to richly bless you. This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. And please make a note of tuning in tomorrow morning for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. That's at 8:30 every weekday morning right here on KARI AM 550.